Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
And to get us started, I'm going to give you some info on a man. I first became aware of this story some years ago when I saw a documentary that included information on Desmond T. Doss. And there's a picture. He was a World War II medic who received the Congressional Medal of Honor. And here's the story. In a battle in Okinawa, his squad, medic, right? His squad was called to basically take a hill. And there's actually a picture that we can put up here. And I'll try to describe what his squad was commanded to do is climb this hill, go after the enemy up on top, right? Well, here's the deal. It didn't go well. And they got up there, and they were bombarded, and life was bad, and they had to call retreat. But Desmond's responsibility is for those men up on the hill. So here's what happened. Long story short, for 10 hours, Desmond would climb the cliff, find a downed soldier, treat him, drag him back to the cliff, and lower him down to safety. 75 men owe their life to the activity of Desmond Doss. This picture was taken the day after the battle, and a wise military photographer who became aware of the story, called Desmond and said, climb up there on there. I want to get a picture of you, and probably had insight into what this gentleman did. There's a little bit more to the story. While he's doing this, he took grenade fragments to the leg and just treated himself. A stretcher arrived to help him down, and while they were carrying him, he saw a man that was in worse shape than he was. So he rolled off the stretcher and made the medics take him. While he's laying on the ground, he takes fire in the arm, fractures his arm. So he finds a broken rifle stock nearby and gives himself a splint. Wow. And so I use that story. Oh, by the way, here's a picture of him receiving the Medal of Honor from President Truman. And I use that story to introduce a word, kind of the word for the day, and it's valor. Valor. And valor is a noun. It means boldness, determination in facing great danger, especially in battle. It means bravery, nerve, or I have underlined there, heroic courage, valor. Not to be confused with velour, which is what sweatsuits were made of in the 70s and the inside of cars. Okay? Just a little clarity there. Not velour. Valor! Oh, heroic. Now, here's what I would say about valor. I am convinced God's into it. Heroic courage. Not velour. You're still thinking, God's into velour? No. I don't think so. I hope God's not into velour. Okay. Into valor. I'm just going to give you, a lot of times I'll string together many verses right now just to get a picture of God. But let's just look at one section in Ephesians chapter 6. Here's what God says to you if you're a follower of Jesus. And see if this doesn't have a sense of courage, strength, valor, commitment. All right? It says, finally, be, and I've underlined a few words, strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. against the devil's schemes. It goes on to say, therefore, put on the full armor, military term, armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to, here's again, stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. So hold those thoughts. It's Father's Day weekend, and so typically we try to choose a text that will relate, especially to men, but of course it doesn't relate just to men. This idea of courage, valor, it's, how you know, we all need it. We all need it. We're going to look at a text that came to my mind when I thought of the term valor or courage, and it's the story of David's, commonly called, three mighty men. I've heard them referred to as David's men of valor, and it's in 2 Samuel 23. Just a tiny bit of background. It's in the season where there are kings and kingdoms, so God's people, the Israelites, have a king. They're in battle, war. The Philistines are the enemy. And here's this little remarkable note about these three men who were called along David's side. And here's what it says about them. 2 Samuel 3:8. These are the names of David's mighty warriors: Josheb-Beshebeth, the Tachmonite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahahite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pass Damon for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Verse 11, next to him was Shammah, son of Agi the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israelites' troops fled from them, but Shammah, took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and again, the Lord brought about a great victory. The title of the talk this weekend, it's Father's Day weekend, and it's Becoming a Man of Valor. And I've already said, I don't think this is just a guy thing. I would submit to you, there are people in the room right now, men and women, you right now, you know what you need? Valor to make it through your situation. And by the way, if you're not in a situation now that needs it, it's coming, right? Just wait till tomorrow or next week, because it's the nature of life. And so what I want to do, there are probably 6 or 7 or 8 characteristics we could explore, but I want to just point out 2 things that I see in these men that I think will help us all. So let me pause and pray, and I'll give you kind of 2 characteristics of these mighty men. Let's pray. So God, I pray. I guess I pray especially for those right now who this is, the timing is perfect. They need it right now. But I do pray, Father, that you would plant in us courage, strength, whatever we will need for tomorrow or for the next season when the air's the enemy and we will need these kinds of characteristics to make it through. God, if I just stand up here and talk, nothing significant will happen, but if you will engage here today, it will be good. So we submit this time to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 characteristics of David's mighty men. The first thing, and you can write this down, it may help us remember. The first thing is this: David's mighty men recognized the real king. And I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but there's something that I notice. It says in verse 8 that these are the names of David's mighty warriors. Now, those of us that know some of Bible history, David is one of the famous kings of Israel. But if you don't know this, he's not king yet. If you were to ask just the masses, hey, who's the king? You know, they would have said Saul was the king. And yet these men have insight into what I might say the real anointed or the future king, the one who has the real power in the situation. And you can write this down. These warriors served the future throne. We're going to explore this a little bit. The future throne before it was recognized by most people. That's the idea. These guys are ahead of the curve because David's going to be king. And there was even some evidence that it was going to happen. I mean, he's winning battles. David's the young man who God empowered to take on a huge guy named Goliath. A lot of you have heard that story. So there's some indications and there's some evidence, but these guys associate with David before he was acknowledged by everyone else. And there's a theological connection here that I want to make. It has to do with the Father in heaven. I think if we were to ask the masses, hey, who's in control? Who's in charge? How many know there'd just be all kinds of answers that wouldn't necessarily be God? We would point toward, well, the Democrats or the Republicans or Obama or Oprah's in charge. I mean, you know, yesterday in one of the church services, I said, so really, who's in charge? There was a gentleman there who pointed to his wife. He did this. I mean, you know how there are all different kinds of answers to the question, what are voices that drive us? And I think that we could, you know, think, well, how do we make our decisions? What voices do we listen to? And sometimes we listen to like the voice of money. Well, who's in charge? Well, whatever will make me the most money or whatever will save me the most money. I think relationships can drive us, you know, however I can keep or however I can get a date or keep the date that I have right? There's all those kind of things. But here's the insight. And I think the challenge, and some of you know this, ready? Who's really in charge? God. God is in charge, folks. Let's not be deceived. Even though the whole world, many, 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 many people don't acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord, don't acknowledge that God is over it all, we have the opportunity, kind of like the warriors, to decide in the midst of it all, I'm going to serve God. Couple verses that just support the idea of who's really in charge. It says in Philippians 2:9, therefore God exalted him. This is a reference to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And then in Romans, God says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow. At some point, did you know all creation, every created being, even the most rebellious, God's dead. And have you heard some of the things, some of the interesting things that people say? You know, if God, you know, negative thing, God's not real, rah, rah, rah. At some point, God's going to set the whole record straight and every knee will bow. There are going to be a lot of people. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. So there are going to be a lot of people that are going to have a real wake-up call when eternity comes and we get just a glimpse of who the Creator is. And there's going to be a few people going, whoops, I shouldn't have said that. Just a side note, how many of you are glad? Because I know many of us, our eyes have been opened to the reality of the gospel. How many of you are glad by God's grace he tapped you on the shoulder and said, you need a savior, and I made a way. How many of you, I just can't get over the why me feelings. I'm like, God, why of all, anybody been a dirtbag in their life, or am I the only one? Anyone deserve hell? Anyone deserve punishment? That's why he has been so gracious to say, by the way, I sent my son to die for you, that you can be forgiven. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm so grateful for that. That was a totally tangent. I'm not sure where I am in my notes. I'm just grateful to God. So in the midst of that, as we get our eyes open, our opportunity is to serve the Lord in the midst with a higher emphasis than serving all the other things that are possibilities, you know. And I'm convinced, you know what, it takes courage in a world where there are all kinds of competing masters to say, as for me, I'm going to attend to the voice of God. That takes courage. Having an assignment for you, if you read the next part of the scripture in 2 Samuel 23, it's the next story of the three mighty men, and I'll give you a little nutshell, but just chew on it this week. Basically, let me set the stage. The three mighty men are still in the story. David, who's, you know, still not king, but they're committed to him. They're in a kind of a battle situation again, but it's like a battle timeout. The Philistines are all gathered. That's the enemy. They're all gathered out there in the on the cliffs and in the rocks. But there's this, it's not during a battle. And they're having what I picture a casual conversation. David's talking to the warriors that are around him. There are a few hundred that have gathered around David. And David makes what I think is this fairly daydream casual comment. In verse 15, he says, have you ever been in like a difficult situation? Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. Now, this is how I picture this. Some of you, you've just been really thirsty or it's been a really bad day, and you think, oh, you know what would be awesome? Like a Starbucks grande mochaccino iced triple shot caramel frothy whipped cream mega cup. Have you ever, it's not a Starbucks, it's like your favorite drink, or we have a cabin up north up in northern Michigan, a little place up there we get to every once in a while. And there's something, the well water there, I think it's just colder, but there are times I'll turn on the faucet and I'll let it run for a minute. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good. You know, so for me, David is just going, oh, man, if somebody could just give me a Diet Coke from McDonald's. Foam glass. That's what he's not, by the way, he's not commanding them to do it. But look at the response of these three mighty warriors. And I picture them just looking at each other and winking. Because David says that. And it says, so the three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. Wouldn't that be, you know, so they're like, that's what my master wants? I'm on it. So, you know, whether they had a canteen or what, so they go do this thing for their master, for their Lord. David just gives them a glimpse into his heart, and they say, I am on it because you are my king. How do you know you want to do something like Father's Day weekend for the Father of the universe, for your Father in heaven? What a joy it would be to him when he whispers something that he wishes. You know what I'd love to see happen? I'd love to see someone take care of that person who's struggling, or pray an extra prayer, or help out that person, or maybe you could just come and sit and we could have some time together. Wouldn't it be amazing to the Father if we were just a people who said, I'm on it. What do you want to do, King? I'll do it. You can write this down. Even in a war zone, these men responded to their king's wants. Like, what do you want? I'll do that. So all this talk about serving the king, and David was the king, reminded me of an old video where they've tied together a segment of a preacher talking about the reality of Jesus as Lord and put some images with it. So the title of the video is "That's My King." So watch this, and then we'll go on.
Says, "My king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
So just a note, because I know on a Father's Day weekend that there are visitors among us. You might just be exploring Jesus Christ, or maybe you've always thought you're a Christian, but right now there's a stirring just because of the video. I just would encourage you, if you're not being diligent about exploring Jesus Christ in a personal way, put it at the top of your list. I mean, if you don't have a home church, come. Just keep coming back here as we try to honor God. And if you're visiting with us from someplace else, get in a church and explore Jesus Christ. We live in a world where there are all kinds of voices and masters and rulers that will try to say this is the most important. But I will be clear with you, the most important decision you will ever make has to do with who you will decide is your king. And it's not the president, and it's not your mother-in-law, or, well, I guess we knew that, but it's not the... Know what I mean? There's all kinds of people and pressures, and by the way, and your king isn't your pastor, and the king isn't the Methodist church or the Catholic church or the Vineyard church, right? It's the person of Jesus Christ. So press into that and ask him if you have any questions or just want prayer about, man, I just want to know more about God. Hang around after the service, or we'll do our best to try to represent him well. So the David's mighty men recognized the real king. The second thing, David's mighty men didn't quit because of a cramp. And this is a little side note, little thing that I see in Eleazar. If you put the scripture up there where he's fighting the Philistines and a bunch of the men retreat, but he doesn't retreat. And it says of him, I brought my sword today. And it says, he stood his ground till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. You ever had a cramp? Like, you know, like a thigh cramp where you're like, ah! Or what? You know what's the worst? A toe cramp in the middle of the night. Help me! Help you. Some of you pray harder when you get a toe cramp than when you. But this guy somewhere in there was doing such battle that in the midst of it, his hands grow tired and they are frozen to the sword. But here's the deal: he kept on fighting and swinging. You can write this down. Eleazar had a reason to give up. He could have said, time out, guys. My hands are really, I need to shake out my forearms. He had a reason to give up, but a heart that would not quit. And I think there's a takeaway in there. You want to be a man or a woman of valor? I think a lot of times it's not necessarily the skills, the intellect. Some of it is just the tenacity. You think of some of the responsibilities that we have, parenting, fathers, work, finances. You want to be a good steward of your finances? A lot of times it's not the degree you have. It's just how diligent you are, and in the midst of when your hands grow tired of being responsible, you just say, I'm going to keep on fighting. Don't quit. And I'll finish with this thought. It's the good news for those who don't quit. And it says of Eleazar, when he stood his ground and he kept swinging. Now, just a side note, you know, my guess is in the battle, he probably isn't even swinging the sword as well as he was at the beginning of the battle. But it's okay, because it says, the Lord, say that with me, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And that is, my friends, in your destiny, it is in our destiny, it is in our future, when we just don't quit. Why don't you stand? We're going to move into a time of prayer. So again, this weekend, we will do what we typically do, which is on this side of the auditorium, there will be a prayer team up here. And listen, folks, they will pray about whatever is going on in your life. It might be some, you know, great big deal. And it might be something that you think, oh, that's not big enough, but it's just bugging you. You have a meeting this week or a doctor's appointment, or you've got some heaviness because of some relational thing that's going on and it's just weighing you down. Just go up, sit down, and say, hey, would you pray about this? And they will do the work of prayer around you. I'm going to be over on this side, and I'm going to pray a group prayer for those of you who just relate to the idea of I just need to keep on swinging. You may have some kind of cramp going on in relationship, but and I'm going to pray just a prayer of courageous tenacity that you will not quit. I'm also going to pray that God will intervene in your circumstance. But if that's you, and this group prayer will only last a couple minutes, all right? So let's pause and pray and close. God, we thank you for this time, and I pray your power onto the prayer team, that you would intervene on people's behalf, and that you would bring a great victory for people who come forward. And also give me wisdom as I pray the group prayer for just courage to stay in the game and keep swinging. We thank you for this time, and I just ask that the blessing of your presence be on us throughout our day. And as usual, Father, I say to you, it is always our privilege to be associated with the name of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless, and see you next time.